And even though we have a Gideon amongst us, we get to hear all those stories as well. Sometimes on Tuesday nights, Ed shares with us what's happening, and we pray for the Gideons, and we are certainly grateful. And I just want to thank all of you for your wonderful donation and financial support for the Gideons. It was a wonderful Sunday. So now we're getting back into Romans. I know it seems like we've been in Romans for years, and it certainly does feel that way sometimes, but it's a wonderful book, and we're going to be looking at chapter 10 today. We're just going to be looking at about five verses, 13 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them and be prepared to dig into this section. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about Paul is talking to the Roman church, and he's kind of given them some words about what their job is and what their purpose is. And that is to go out into the world. Remember our call to worship this morning, that we are called to go out into the world and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not something that is relegated to someone like myself as a pastor or preacher. It is for all of us. One of the things that I started many years ago when I got into ministry is, if you look at the bulletin, it says, those leading us in worship today, the first group of people is you, the congregation. You are the ministers of this church. I may be down as the pastor, but you are the ministers. Because you have a responsibility, as much as I do, to bring your story that's unique to you to the people in your world. And that might even be spouse, children, grandchildren. It might be a coworker. It might be, if you are like Marley and Caitlin and Nicholas, it might be the kid that sits next to you in your classroom. It could be anybody. It could be the person that you see maybe at the coffee shop every day when you go in for, if you're like me and you like to go get coffee. It's those, you have an opportunity to preach the word. That is your job. As a matter of fact, as we will look at a little bit here, that is a mandate from the Bible that you are called to do that. So today we're going to talk about this idea of being sent. You are being sent out today, just as much as I am. Now, there's a day that we celebrate each year that commemorates the arrival of the promised Holy Spirit, but it is also the initiation of the church. If you go into the book of Acts, it is the day the church was inaugurated. Although it's a holiday that we don't always celebrate, certainly don't celebrate it enough, but it is a day that is very important. It is very meaningful. A day of commemorating the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, a day that we celebrate when Jesus said that I will bring a helper, I will bring an advocate, I will bring a helper to come and guide you and lead you to do the things that God has called you to do. Now, there's a lot of confusion, believe it or not, in the work of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to do is, at the very top of the sermon notes here, I want you to write this down. The Spirit's role is to simply glorify Christ. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. So what is this day that I'm talking about? Does anyone know? The day of Pentecost, right? What is the day of Pentecost? It was a day that radically changed the world. And if you look at the book of Acts, it talks about that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the apostles, but it also came upon the people. And their lives were forever changed. The church was changed. The lives of people, not just in the church, were changed, but also the people outside the church. Because it was in that moment that the church became the church, where they weren't just a group of people getting together on a Sunday morning while the outside world kind of was in their place and we were in our place. It was a church that was very much dedicated and committed to breaking down the walls, going out into the community, and changing lives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was upon them. There are many different ways in which the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Gospel of John, at least in chapters 14, 15, and 16, tells us why we were given the Holy Spirit. In chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit comes upon you the moment you say yes to Jesus. In John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, it says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. And in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, verse 7 and 8, it says, but I tell you the truth, that it is your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. See, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come from the Father. He would reside in the people, particularly talking about the people in the book of Acts, that he will guide them, that he will enable them to share the message of Christ, that they would be convicted of sin, at least be able to help the world be convicted of sin. It would enlighten them, their minds, so that they would understand the things of God. They would empower them to go out and share the message of hope in a whole new world. And we continue to celebrate that fulfillment of the promise. For the Holy Spirit comes upon you on the day that you say yes to Christ. And it infects you, it encourages you, it inspires you, it gives you purpose in life. Now, in the Old Testament, the gift of the Spirit was something that was only given to a select few people, and it was only given to them for a short period of time, just long enough for them to do some specific task. But also through the Old Testament, God promised that there would come a day when the Spirit would pour on everyone. In Joel chapter 2, it says, and afterwards I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So, this promise of God was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The indwelling Holy Spirit brought many benefits to the life of the believers in those days. On the first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to form miracles for a specific purpose, and that was to grow the church, to inspire the people, encourage the people. They were given the miracles of being able to speak in different languages, healing and prophecy, spreading the gospel, edifying the church, authenticating the message and the messenger. Serving as a measure of authority during a time prior to the New Testament being written. Inspiring the human authors of the Bible. The very Bible itself is a miracle because it's reliable, it's complete and authoritative. The Holy Spirit today continues to empower each one of us with special supernatural abilities. I want to stop there for a minute. Because I'm sure there's probably some of you out here today saying, I don't have any supernatural abilities. I don't know what I can do because I'm weak. I don't know a lot. I don't have a lot of experience in talking to people. Well, let me tell you something. I was that way. I was scared to stand up in front of a crowd. I was scared to talk to people. But now you can't stop me from talking, as some of you probably already know. Okay? Something happens in your life when you get the taste of doing and fulfilling your purpose in life. Something happens. You can't help but want to share your story. And each and every one of you has a story to tell. Each and every one of you has something to offer. Because each and every one of you has a gift, has a talent, has something that's supernatural, that's unique about you, that only you can use it. It might be your personality. It might be a specific gift or talent that you have. It might be just a willingness to listen, a willingness to just hear people's story. I was reading in the devotions this week. I can't remember if it was Daily Bread or Secret Place. Some of you will remember, but the whole story was about this man who sat in a coffee shop. Remember that one? He was sitting in a coffee shop, and there was these two women that came and sat down next to him, and he could kind of overheard their conversation. And one woman was going on and on about how wonderful her kids were and how successful her husband was and all this stuff. And the woman just sat there. The other woman just sat there and listened to her. And she finally says, I don't have anything. You know, that was kind of her thought. But she did have something. She had the gift to just listen. And sometimes the greatest gift is not to say anything, but to just listen. Be a support. And boy, I tell you, that is one of the greatest gifts that we can have. Because one of the most important gifts that we gain from the Holy Spirit is the ability to spread the gospel in our way. And so the main thing that I want us to understand today, the main thing I want us to take away from here today, is to understand that we have a biblical mandate to tell others about Christ. And folks, we don't get to pick and choose who we talk to. That's been taken care of for us. We all have a story to tell. We all have a story that can transform and change lives and bring people to Christ. And you may know who that person is today. You may be sitting there in your pew. Maybe that's a good thing for us to do right now as we're listening to this message. To think about that person in your life, maybe a complete stranger that you see regularly but you don't really know, or it might be a family member, but find somebody and just pray and ask God if that's the person that you want me to connect with and tell my story. I don't know how many times I have gone to places and I walk into like a coffee shop, or I go someplace and go in and get a lunch or something, and I see people talking. And they just imagine what they're talking about. Just imagine how in that moment a life can be changed simply because someone understood their purpose and understood why they're here, why God loves them, why God created them, and why they have a story to tell. We've all been sent by God to share a message. Today, I want to look at three things that came out of this scripture this morning from Romans chapter 10. So as we begin, number one, the importance of hearing the message. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. "How then can they call on the name, or rather, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we attain salvation. And I made a remark. I said, you know, it's very simple to attain salvation. Right there in our scripture. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. It's very simple. Although I think in our humanness, we try to complicate it. You know, we try to overthink it. But the reality is, it's very simple. But the problem with that, though, is that before a person can call on the name of the Lord, they have to know the Lord. They cannot believe in someone they do not know. I mean, look at the first question that Paul says, or asks. How will they call on him if they do not believe? Well, they won't. No one will call out to God if they do not believe in him or have faith in him. Which leads us to a second question. How will they believe if they have not heard? The answer again is they won't. They will not believe unless someone tells them. Saving faith begins with hearing the word of truth. It starts when we are confronted with the gospel. It begins to affect us once we hear it. We cannot be saved without first hearing the gospel. The message of Christ is indispensable. As important as lifestyle evangelism is, as important as friendship evangelism, it is those things that we try to program in and we try to do, but those things are not the gospel. At some point, people need to hear about Jesus, pure and simple. And whether you use tracts or your personal account of how Jesus changed your life or discipleship books or reading sections on the Gospel of John, whatever way you choose to talk about Jesus is fine. Just do it. Just do it. It's amazing how you feel when you do it. It is amazing how God works in situations like that. You and I have been sent by God to accomplish that goal because people need to hear the message. The reason that hearing the message is so important is because it has the power to change lives. The power to transform people. There is content to the message. There is something that we need to know in order to make a choice to either accept Christ or deny Him. Without hearing the message, we cannot call on His name. Number two, the importance of sharing the message. Verses 14 and 15 says, "And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." So the next question has to do with the importance of someone going out and sharing the message with the world. How are people going to believe unless they hear the message? And how are they going to hear unless somebody brings them the message? Every single one of us has a responsibility to proclaim the message. It's in us through the Holy Spirit. We have to share it. You and I are God's chosen instruments for reaching a lost and hurting world. That's why Paul asked the next question. He says, how will they preach unless they are sent? It is God who equips us. It is God who sends us out. It is God who empowers us with the Holy Spirit. It is God who brings us the opportunities. Each one of us has been sent. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You have an important job to do. You have been placed in your schools, your job, your family, your neighborhood to share the message. It's not by accident. It was planned ahead of time. And often, I get it, we feel inadequate or unknowledgeable. Sometimes we feel like we're unprepared to share, but make no mistake, you have been sent. You have been commissioned. You are not just a bystander or a spectator. You are actively enlisted by God. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, each one of us has been given tools that we need to share the gospel. The question today, though, for all of us, really, myself included, is, have we been faithful in sharing the message of salvation to the people that we love the most, the people that we connect with, the people that we have around us? Are we sensitive to the opportunities that God brings our way? Are we willing? Are we willing to be sent? God wants to use you, so we need to let Him. We have a responsibility, and it's a heavy, heavy responsibility. And it's not an easy one. Some years ago, when we were in Indiana, a pastor friend of mine, Keith Taylor, who pastors the big, large Assembly of God Church, we would meet once a week for prayer. And Pastor Keith, it's a Pentecostal church, and Jen and I would sometimes go to their Sunday night services just to see, you know, because Keith was a dear friend, and Keith would always, there'd be not just Jen and I, but other pastors in the area would come sometimes, and Keith would see us in the audience, and he'd have us stand up in front of everybody, and I spoke one night as a group of about 12 of us gathered one night, because Halloween was on a Sunday night, and so we all went to his church, and there was probably 600 people there, the largest group of people I've ever spoken to. And each pastor was supposed to have 5 or 10 minutes that we were allowed to be up on stage and talk. And an extraordinary moment. But Keith was telling us this story about he and his church had this bright idea to go out into their community and start spreading some joy. They wanted to spread joy. And they came up with this idea of going and buying Joy dishwashing liquid. Because a lot of his congregation was a little bit leery about knocking on doors, and they were a little bit leery about, you know, talking to strangers. And so they came up with this idea that they would go and they would collect hundreds of bottles of Joy liquid dishwashing liquid soap. And they put every single bottle on the stage, and they prayed for those bottles. And then they would take a bunch of those bottles, and they went out in their community, they knocked on doors, and they said, "Hi, we're from Cross Tabernacle, and we just are out this Saturday afternoon, we're just wanting to spread some joy, and so here you go." They took the bottles. That's all they said. They didn't start telling their story. They didn't start, you know, and with the joy bottles, they had a little track or a little thing about their church. And then they went back. About 6 months later, they went back and they did it again. And they went to some of the same houses that they had gone to before. And now the people, they said, "You know, I just ran out of soap. I'm so glad that you're here." Some of them said, "Can you come in? I want to talk to you because I need joy in my life right now." The door was open. The people were able to tell their story simply because they gave them a Joy dishwashing liquid. Isn't it amazing? I think we overthink it. We overthink about what it is that we need to do. And sometimes we just kind of go, "You know what? I don't get it. How can that happen?" It's because we overthink it. We did that same thing in Eugene. We went out into our neighborhood, and we handed out joy. And I had older members of the church. Some of them could hardly walk. But they wanted to go, and so we loaded up cars, and we went into our neighborhoods around the church, and we started handing out joy. And I'll tell you what, some of those little old ladies in the church, they were so excited. They wanted to keep going. And we loaded up bags, and we went in there, and we started knocking on doors, and they were just having a ball. And for weeks after that, they talked about how much fun that was. We did a trunk and treat at our church, and it was so funny to see these little old ladies dressing up in Halloween costumes, decorating the trunks of their car in our parking lot, and handing out candy and laughing and just having a good old time. It's amazing what you can do when you just do it and not try to talk yourself out of it. Number three, the importance of believing the message. You have to believe the message, folks. Verses 16 and 17 says, "But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah said, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Now, here in this piece, we see really a gist of this, which is the importance of believing what we're saying, believing our story and the message. We understand that transforming faith is a gift from God. The work of salvation, well, it begins and ends with Him. You can put that down. God does the saving, not us. But there clearly is an importance in believing the message. And we can go out and we can share our story and share our message. And the reality is, as you and I both know, that not everyone is going to believe it. And we are guaranteed that we're going to face a lot of indifference, that we're going to face a lot of rejection, maybe even be mocked. But we have been sent to proclaim the message. And the measure of success is whether or not we do it, not whether people accept it. Understand that. This fact should take some of the fear and the apprehension out of sharing the gospel. We don't have to worry about whether or not the person believes our story or believes the message. All we can do and all we're required to do is share it. The rest is up to God. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about the essence of the gospel, and it's the word faith. And our scripture today says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing and receiving and believing the message. How will anyone confess faith in Christ if they don't believe the message? How will anyone believe the message if they don't hear about God? And how will anyone hear unless somebody tells them? You cannot leave it up to somebody else. How will anyone share the gospel unless we are sent? And you and I have been sent. On the first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit moved in the disciples in an amazing way. In that moment, they received the power and the confidence and authority to spread the gospel. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached with excitement and enthusiasm. What about us? Are we telling our story? Are we sharing the message with enthusiasm and excitement? That same Holy Spirit moves in our lives today. It still works today. It's still alive and it's still active and moving in each of our hearts. The Holy Spirit is still convicting us, is still empowering us, is still equipping us. That's reality, folks. That's the church. We're not a social club. We're not a gathering where we have a secret handshake at the entrance. It's not a place where we allow this person in, but not this person. Everyone has a right to be here. And I'm grateful for this church. Because as I see people coming in that are new, that are visiting, they are welcomed. And I want to tell you that I am proud of you for how you do that. Because I have been in churches where that is not the case. We have all been sent by God. We all have purpose and meaning. And again, it doesn't matter how young or old you are. You all have a story to tell. As I finish up this morning, I want to pray a couple prayers for you guys. For number one, if you are here today, as my friend Pastor Steve and Eugene would say, you're kicking the tires of this thing called religion and Christianity and faith and salvation. And maybe you're here today and you're sensing the Spirit is maybe tugging on your heart. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. You're not sure if you've taken the right steps or that you've really called on the name of Jesus today. And maybe there's some of you here today that's been wrestling with this. We want to help you today. We want to help you and give you a chance to do the right thing today. So if that is you, as you're sitting in your pew, I want you to pray this prayer with me. All right? Right where you're sitting, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I invite you into my heart and into my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that there are many of you here today that have already confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you realize that at that moment, you received the Holy Spirit. It dwelt in your life, in your heart and soul. And you also know that at that moment, there was a real change that took place in your life. In that moment, you were changed from being a recipient of the message to being the carrier of that message. Maybe, as you sit here today, you're realizing that maybe you have been ignoring or neglecting your spiritual gift, your calling, to go share the message with others. Maybe today is the day you say, I want to make that commitment. I just feel like I need to do that more. Maybe God has given you a person right now for you to talk to. So right here, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for granting me salvation through your Son. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. God, open my eyes and open my heart to the work of the Spirit in my life. And allow the Spirit to convict me of sin. Empower me to share your message. Grant me the ability to love others as you love them. Dear God, I understand that I have been sent out with a purpose. Help me to fulfill that purpose and bring you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been sent to preach the gospel to a hungry and thirsty world. And as they hear, some will believe, some may not. But we all need to go. Go here today. Leave here today with the power of the Holy Spirit and change the world. Amen. We are going to